Let's turn to Genesis. I want to start with chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1. Now today I want to talk about the fourth tree, tree number 4. So let's open it up, and this will be a preliminary to it. Let's see, chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man, Adam, in our image, Betzalemnu, after our likeness. In other words, not just give him our picture, our face, make man look like us rather than turtles and rocks and trees. But let's give him also our capacity, having, possessing, being seized of, having property in, the actual ability for God to do something, for man to also be like that, not be that, but be like that. So if God thinks, we can think. If God acts, we can act. If God feels, we can feel. If God wills something, we can will. Whatever God is able to do, let man be like that. And not like anything else in all creation. So man was given the freedom of will. He was given the intelligence. He was given the emotional passion that God also has, so he could relate to him emotionally. And in his feelings, he could actually know the Lord in all of his depths. And he could become then his steward, his trustee on the earth, which no other creature could do. So it's impossible for a fish to do that, no matter how big a whale is. They can't compare to God, can't do what God wants. No matter how beautiful a butterfly is, it can't compare to God, and so on. So God made us Betzalemnu Kedemutnu, in his image, our image, it says. Ke means in, or Betzalem. Tzalem means image or face. Likeness is mut demut. Nemutnu, our likeness. So he's talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we're just like the Father himself and the Son and the Holy Spirit because we have similar, not exactly identical. Ours is derivative. His is original, and it's everlasting and it's eternal. And ours is not. Ours is just so that you could be like him potentially. How many know a man actually failed at that job? But anyway, that was a possibility. You were permitted to. No one can stop you from doing it. You yourself could not choose it. You could choose otherwise. You could rebel. You could sin from God. You can do what he said not to do. And so these trees that he set up, which you'll read about in the third chapter, these trees are very interesting. The first set of trees would be all the trees. So all the trees. And there, with all the trees, he says something like this. You may eat. You may eat of all the trees. They'll be good for food and so on and so forth. So that's the first thing, a great big box for all the trees in the garden. Everything on earth will be available to man's benefit, for his advantage. So that's a tree of liberty. Those trees produce liberty. So that liberty is something powerful. So let's call this one the tree of liberty. Let me see if I've got a pen in here. Let's see, okay. So we'll call this the liberty tree, the tree of liberty. Liberty. But it's a natural liberty given to all men. Liberty. So natural liberty. I don't think you can read that, but I can. So that is the first thing, the first law of creation is liberty. Isn't that interesting? And this liberty is given for man's happiness, for his safety, for his advantage, for his profit. In other words, God created the world for man to eat that tree if he wants to. He doesn't have to. There's no have to here. There's no force. There's no violence. There's no coercion. There's no compelling man. You may. You're permitted to. So man was created in the image and likeness, Betzalemnu Kedemutnu, so that he could do it if he wished. But God, notice this, God doesn't say you have to eat of those trees. It is as you may, if you get hungry. And so if man got hungry, he could eat of those trees. Banana trees, apple trees, pineapples, you know, he can eat anything because it's all for his good. So God created the world in a wonderful way prior to a man goofing up, prior to man sinning, rebelling against God. So that's the next tree. But, however, don't eat of this tree. Don't eat of this tree here. This is the wrong tree to eat of. So we'll make this tree green. And there, it'll be like that. And then we'll put a snake there. And we've got to put a little tongue on that snake. Can you all see that snake? No. Has a tongue. All right. So on this tree will be called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So here's all the little fruits on this tree. Don't eat of this tree. So this one says, you shall not. You may, the other, but this one you shall not eat. You shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So this one is never rely upon your own reason, emotions, your own moral conscience. Never rely on those without God. In other words, always check with God as to what's right and wrong, what's true and false, what's just and unjust, what's good and evil. Because only God reserves the right to say what's good and evil, right and wrong, true and false, just and unjust. And the world today ignores God. It's like they're eating of that tree. And the church also, building just on human nature without God. Even though it's a church, we can do it without God. Fortunately, we have committees. And we can just do a whole bunch of things just the way we feel like doing and the way we think and the way we want. And so man is able to, and God has given freedom here, a lot of freedom. But he said this one, no, here's a law. I'm giving a law here. Don't. You shall not. So here's the law and here's the liberty. Over here, you may eat of all the good stuff. But you shall not eat of that one right there and replace God. Idolatry, immorality, injustice. No, that would be a bad tree to eat of, is don't try to build something without me. So what has man done? Well, man, instead of doing what he may do freely, he decided to do what he should not do, and he produced another thing, which is not the tree, but the fruit of that tree, which we call lawlessness. We call lawlessness. You know, when man builds himself a life or a church or a civilization or a government without God. And so that would be called lawless. Law, lawless. So law can actually produce lawless, which is interesting. So when man does what he shouldn't do, he becomes lawless. So the fruit of this one is this one. And so now this one is the fruit that you weren't supposed to eat of here, and it produced that. And you can call this idolatry. I like the fact that it's an idol tree. Idolatry. I'm going to write tree there, idolatry. Because you're not supposed to eat of that and worship false gods. In other words, every other god but God is false. And that'll produce immorality. If anyone is immoral, that's because you are first of all an idol worshiper. Period, over, out. Some might call that idolatry. Idolatry. I like saying tree. Like a little kid, I have to ride around the corner like that. And then that always produces injustice. So you don't get a just government this way. So if you have all this freedom, but you misuse your freedom by doing something licentious, not keeping his law, and it's put negatively, not, you shall not. Well, that will produce this, and that's where we are now. It has many names in Scripture. I'll call it the gates of hell. The gates of hell. Because this one is death. This is death. This one is lawless, therefore it leads to death. Because it's built on rebellion from God's perfect order here, which is don't. Do this. You may do this. You don't have to do it. You may do it. But here, don't do that, or else you'll die. So there's the consequence of eating of a tree he told you not to eat. Did you eat of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Did God kill them? No, God didn't kill them. They themselves did what he said not to do because it was not in their best interest. They should have eaten what they may eat. You're allowed to play in this room. You are not allowed to come into this room. So, you know, there's always laws. Whenever there's liberty, there's always going to be a law. You have liberty up to this point, but no liberty here. And so God set it up where he said, yes, and then he said, no. So the first one, that tree, that's a good tree. You may eat of all the trees of the garden. But, how I make this one exception, not this particular tree. I reserve the right always to tell you what you can do and can't do every minute of every second of every day. So God can't be a God that winds the world up and gets it going and then disappears. You can't see him anymore. He has to be an ever-living God that constantly in every single person that he gave his image and his likeness to, they're accountable to him every minute of every second of every day. And he knows everything you're thinking. And he knows everything you're feeling and everything you're doing and everything you want. And he knows everything about everything about everything. That is amazing God. It's hard for me to imagine how that God can know every blade of grass, every cricket, every flea in a mosquito group. You know, did you ever see how mosquitoes are like this, you know? But they stay together as kind of a group. But God can count them. Oh, one's missing. You know, I wouldn't know. If there's just a whole big bunch of them in the swamp, I wouldn't know where they all were. But God actually tracks each one. He's an amazing God. He's almost better than a computer, I think. And I don't know if you're on Facebook with him, but he knows exactly what he's talking about. So you do well to not go that direction. You can see how that's a bad direction. So here's what God does. He builds something else that is nothing like that. The may is okay, but these two are not okay. And this is where Texas is going right now. This is where America is going right now. This is where the whole world is going right now. And, they're just headed for death. And there'll be no hope. So God had another idea. And he said, you know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set up something else. And so God set up the tree of life. So this tree of life here is another tree entirely. Tree of life. That's the third tree. One, two, three. So here's the tree of life. And I'm just going to put a big cross here so you can see this is the tree of life here, where Jesus dies for you, and he shows you mercy. He shows you mercy, which in Hebrew is chesed. Say it. Chesed. 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 Say it again. Not he, but he. He. You gotta put some spit into it. It's got to be guttural. So chesed. That chesed is his everlasting loving kindness for everybody, even sinners. Even sinners. And that helps because everybody up above is messing up with the may do. They're getting it mixed up with shall not do. And then they end up dying, which he said would happen. If you go that way, you're not going the way I chose. I would like you to go. I've reserved this third tree for later. And they only dealt with the first two, all the trees, and then that one tree that they weren't supposed to eat. And they didn't even bother with the tree of life. They didn't even bother with that tree. So God set that up. But that tree would result in a just government. If you had that tree, instead of a lawless governor and a tyranny, you could have a just government. So over here, one of the fruits of faith, one of the fruits of true religion would be just government. And so if you wanted to have just government on the earth, you would have to get it from here. So this is the foundation of this. You can't have justice on this earth, which in the Hebrew, I'm going to write the Hebrew word here, is tzaddik. So tzaddik, T-S-A-D-D-I-Q, tzaddik, means right or just. Remember I said anything that's good or which is right or just or true, well, that would be this one here, but Jesus is actually the truth. Here he is. This is the truth that'll set you free. So here's freedom here. There's freedom here, natural freedom, but this is spiritual freedom. So right here, we have spiritual freedom, and that comes, interestingly enough, that comes from no law. Up here, there was a law which nobody kept, and then you got into lawlessness, which everyone wants to do because it's sinful and wicked and selfish and so on, and you're going to perish them because judgment will come upon the gates of hell. I will build my church, and this church that he's building is us. We're the church. This, if we're born again, if we're believers, then we have eternal life in us, and then one of the benefits of that is we're the salt and the light to this over here, not our direct thing that we're doing. We're basically worshiping God. That's what we want to do, is worship God up there. And then that we love our neighbor, and part of our neighbor is other people. And when you do it, they get just government because of our light and our salt. So there we are. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And we get that all out of the mercy of God here instead of the law of God. I like mercy. I like the gospel, the truth of the gospel. No, you can't read that, but that's okay. All right, so now, where does that come from? Well, that actually comes back here from Abraham. So here's Abraham. He's not a tree. We have our three trees. But Abraham is one who, instead of going with all the other religions that got us here, it's these other religions here, you shall not. Those other religions did exactly what God said not to do, and they caused this civilization, this evil, lawless, tyrannous, despotic civilization that we now are experiencing here, unjust, injustice, immorality, from idolatry. That produced that. And so Abraham got another religion called faith. He's the father of faith. And his was to rely upon a promise, faith in a promise. So that promise here was, someday I'm going to send my son Jesus, and he will be your son of Abraham. You'll be the son of Adam, but he will be called the son of Abraham, because I'm going to make a covenant with you. And this covenant promise, I promise that in the future righteousness will come, not through keeping a law, because men didn't want to keep this law, but it'll come through the mercy of God. God will keep the law for you. Instead of you making the atonement for me. So here's the law that the Jews tried to keep. I'll make two tables of law there. They tried to keep that law because God said, don't do bad, keep that law. But they didn't keep it. And because Man can't keep it because that's built on human nature. You shall not. Here's the you. This is nature, human nature. Human nature is not strong enough, big enough, with all of your reason. Human nature. Can't read that again, but I can read it. So human nature with its will, with its reason, with its emotions, its conscience, and so on and so forth, all the stuff you're naturally equipped with when he made you in his image and likeness is not enough to stop the gates of hell. It's not enough to overthrow the kingdom of darkness. It's not enough because human nature without God is not enough. He made you, but you aren't God. But he made you dependent on God, and you didn't do what he said. You didn't worship him with all your heart. So here's worship. You didn't worship him with all your heart. And you didn't love your neighbor as yourself. Worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself, and so on and so forth. You didn't do that since you didn't do it under the law. Since you didn't do that under the law, he did it himself for you because you can't do anything up here that will ever please God because it's not perfect. God's perfect. If you owe him something, it's got to be done perfectly. You can't make a sacrifice that has a flaw in it. You can't wear a dress as a bride that has a spot on it. You have to do everything perfectly. And how many know, except for me, none of the rest of you could do that because you're not pastors. I mean, I'm the only one that can do it, but I took this job because I knew I'm not going to make it without it. But if you become a pastor and put on these robes and so on and so forth, now we wear ties, but anyway, being legally, but I'm doing it by mercy. How many know God let me in just purely through mercy? The only reason I ever got here was purely because God decided to make the sacrifice for me since he knew I was exactly like Judy and not capable of doing anything good. Is that true, Judy?
True.
You and I. Powerful.
Oh.
You see, she can't do anything perfectly. Just like me. A complete clown, a complete idiot. Apart from God, you can do nothing, but with God, you can do all things. That's amazing. So justice could come out of this three-way deal on the bottom. Justice could come through this Abrahamic covenant that was made in the Old Testament by a promise. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Seven times. So God made a covenant with Abraham based on faith. So this foundation here is like Mount Zion. Okay? So Mount Zion, remember we sang it today? Salvation comes from Mount Zion. You know, out of Zion, salvation comes. So when he comes. So here's Jesus here, Yeshua, Jesus, who is Yeshua. All right, so Jesus is then the mercy by which this one is the dwelling place of justice, has to come through the mercy based on this foundation of faith in Jesus Christ. So holiness, holy, this is the true kind of holiness. This here is not holy. This is unholy because we were unholy here by not doing it through this one here. This was the righteousness he was looking for, not you being righteous, but God being righteous for you. Not you being righteous for God, but God being righteous for you. Isn't that interesting? We've sinned against God, and that was just proof that we weren't able to be holy without him. And man at his best state is altogether vanity. So when you're good, when you behave yourself, when you're nice, when people like you, you know there's something wrong. That is very bad to be liked by everybody. I probably need to say that again. That's very bad to be good, to be nice. How many of you are good? Remember God said, don't eat of that tree. Don't you ever say you're good. Only God is good. That's amazing. Only God is good. I know, but I was a believer and I got it. Yeah. Well, that was derivative. If you got it by faith, you didn't get it. In fact, you're not righteous. You're only righteous because you're in relationship to one who is righteous, who lives in you and does everything for you and everything in you and everything through you. So even when you do something, you didn't do what you did. Even though you did it, you didn't do it. Because the Father who dwells in me doeth the works, Jesus said. So even Jesus wasn't good. Jesus never said he was good. One time they said, good teacher. And he said, no. Why do you call me good? Because what I'm doing as Jesus, son of man on earth, what I'm doing derivative under God. It's the Father who dwells in me that doeth the works. So everything I'm saying, everything I'm doing, everything I'm willing, everything I'm thinking and feeling and wanting, it all comes from God. So I couldn't do any of that on earth, as it is in heaven, unless the Father were in me and the Holy Spirit not only was originally birthing me, but he had to stay with me. Actually, Jesus was born also through Mary. And when he came through Mary, there wasn't any dad. There wasn't any father. So his Father God in heaven was his only father. Why? Because that's what we should have too. No matter who your biological father is, what you really need is the spiritual Father in heaven, our Father who art in heaven. So that's who we are, and that's why, you know, people may not like what I just said, because that is not self-evident. That's not a self-evident truth. No, of course not, because everything on the bottom is by revelation. You can't get this truth. Jesus is the truth. Nobody knows that except you're a believer. That would have to be a gift. You couldn't just produce faith. You can't just produce faith. Abraham did nothing. He came to him and said, I will show you a land. I will make you a great people. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. I will blah, 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 bless all the families on the earth and so on. So God made 7 promises and Abraham made 0. When it came time to cut the covenant, he fell asleep. That's all he added to it. That was it. How many can see that there's not a lot of labor in that? I mean, he did do a lot of labor by cutting those cows up and, you know, whatever. But then the birds came along and he had to fight those. And pretty soon he got tired. And then God had to come and he said, okay, you ready? And he wasn't ready. How many know that that's a picture that you are not able to do anything without God, not even make a covenant with him, not even be sincere? There's no goodness in you at all. None. No, not one. Jesus said, no, not one. So not even one. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said that, and he was the only one that was good because as son of God, he's good, but as son of man on earth, you'd have to believe that he was sent by God. You'd have to believe that God actually could become a man. You'd have to believe something so ridiculous that no one would believe that. So he'd have to prove it. He'd have to say something, and then God would have to do something. So if he said something and it didn't happen, then he wasn't in fact sent. So everything he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He said that. But if the gates of hell are prevailing today, if you look at the stock market today, we're down. The Muslims are, you know, up. They're the ones chopping heads off, and they seem to be doing rather well. Religion tied with violence is doing very well today. Look how God wants religion to always be a thing of peace. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. So that would be a just government up here. Just government would be this number 3. This would be one of the fruits, not the only one. This would be one of the fruits of loving the neighbor. That your government then, if you had people that worship God and love their neighbor, then you could have a just government apart from which you cannot. Show me any government on earth that's just without Christians, impossible. Muslims can't do it. Hindus can't do it. Buddhists can't do it. There will be no justice anywhere on earth. Why? Because human nature, even at its best state, is not able to stop the gates of hell. In other words, what he's saying is the gates of hell can take everything built by man. but not anything built by God. So here's God's building. Here's the foundation. Here then is the tree of life. This tree of life means if you believe, because that's what it means to eat. Eat of this tree. Eat of me. Jesus said, unless you eat of me, unless you believe on me, unless you come to me personally, not some other Jesus, not some Christ spirit or something, but actually Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one who is the Messiah of Israel, that one, the one who came from Abraham's grandson, Israel, that is the only one in which there's hope for this world. Otherwise, the world perishes. Well, today, it looks like, it seems like, it appears like, if you were to judge by appearance, which we are told not to, it looks like the bad is winning and the good is losing. And a lot of people are nervous, especially churches. Homosexuality is taking over, Al-Qaeda is doing this, and the government's corrupt, and everything's falling apart, the nation is divided, and blah, 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 blah. So all the social signs and all of the economic signs and all the political signs and even the religious signs, many Christians are today just doing everything the world does and so on and so forth. Basically, the world is lukewarm today, Laodicean. So that means that God is lost. He's not winning at all. How many know that it isn't over until, well, I won't say what, but it isn't over until, and when it's over, then it's over. And he's right now sorting things out to see how you will decide. He doesn't want to come until everybody's ready. Hath the bride made herself ready? Because he's only coming back for not a harlot, but for a bridal church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, stain, any such thing. No unholiness, no uncleanness, no perversion, no sin whatever. Well, only God could pull that off. How many know that we cannot pull that off? We're not capable of doing what God has asked for here. But I want you to notice this here, this connection between Mount Zion, the holiness that is the true kind of holiness, not the religious holiness of men, but God's gift to Abraham, God's gift to Abraham. I'll do it all. And God then makes the atonement himself. God himself will provide the lamb. Because we can't provide a perfect sacrifice. The only thing we can do is the sacrifice of praise. Thank you. I praise you. I adore you. That's it. It's not a work. It's a response to the fact that all the work's been done by God. Did you hear what I said? None of the work is done by your cooperation. Well, I didn't do the work, but I cooperated with it. At least I didn't get in the way, really. That's interesting. I don't believe a word of it. God does it alone, exclusively, and it's a free gift, and nobody's any good. And he only gives this to people that are no good. How many here are good for nothing? Your goodness won't make it. It's part of human nature. That's what's the trouble with the world today, is it's still trying to overcome the gates of hell by human goodness. Man is perfectible. No, he's not. Well, at least we can improve him. No, you can't. Well, we can at least try. No, you cannot. All of your trying is trying. In other words, it's like quit, stop, don't. Because what God wants is perfect. He wants something to be perfect. Well, only God can provide what God wants. Only can provide. Only God. That's what he said to Isaac. Father, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the lamb? Oh, he said, don't worry about that, son. God himself will provide the lamb. And God has. And his name is Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus Christ, Jesus HaMashiach. And so Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew is the same thing as Jesus Christ in Greek. Now, what God wants us to do then is to realize that you are no good and you will never be good for all eternity, ever. Except you put your faith in God. And particularly in the provision that he made right there in the middle in Jesus Christ. Then he'll have two gifts. One, Jesus Christ, the spiritual gift, which is by faith we're justified, and then sanctified, and then glorified. And by the glorified part, which is the outer part, the world will actually see our salt and light, and they'll give glory to the Father in heaven and defeat Satan. The gates of hell then are defeated. They didn't accomplish what God wanted at all because this one trumps this one. And this one trumps this one. And this one is you may eat, but here it's you shall eat. That's the fourth tree. You shall eat. In other words, Abraham is the fourth tree, but it's actually just turning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, instead of a command which we would fail, instead of a command which we would be judged by, instead of a command which would only condemn us, he turns it into a promise. You shall not eat. You see, shall not sounds like a command, and it is in form, but in fact, in truth, not by the letter of the law, but by the spirit of the law, it's actually a promise. You shall not eat. Because God is making a promise there, not a command to you, but a promise from himself that he, the offended one, has decided to show mercy to you and pay the full price by killing his own son. Do you see that? It's powerful. This is too powerful. God never wanted you to make a sacrifice that would be acceptable to him. He winked at the Jews bringing a lamb or bringing a bull or a goat or some kind of sacrifice or you being morally nice. God hates morality. I'm not talking about this world. I'm talking about God. God hates morality because it's you trying to do something apart from God. You know, if you're moral, you don't give God the credit because you did it or you cooperated with it or you played a role in it because you know all the weights on you and your brain and your emotions, and your, decency that you've actually, done something that people thank you for and so on. God hates that. He hates that because you just replaced God the Father, who is the judge of all, who's saying you can do nothing. Second of all, you replace Jesus. And third of all, you replace the Holy Spirit. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you just replaced them. You may not have known you did. You may have even used this name, but you used this name in vain. Unless the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. So we just built a house of justice here. The habitation of justice is built upon the foundation of holiness through the mercy and loving kindness, chesed, of God through Jesus Christ and his blood. Abraham was looking forward to it, and just government is on the earth as a fruit of it. And you cannot have that fruit anywhere. What's wrong with Texas government? What's wrong with American government? It's messing with, it's got spots and wrinkles in it, it's messing with God's truth. The founders of Texas were 100% for one state under God. Period. As far as I know, we're the only state that said it that way. Others say it in other ways, but they didn't say it as clearly. In Texas, because we had a long time after 1776, we had a long time to think about how that other thing worked in America. And they saw that the United States was already going downhill. So they wrote their documents in a more stronger fashion than any other. Now, I just said something very strong, because you have to know how to read their Declaration of Independence and their Constitution. For example, in the American system, you put the Bill of Rights third. Declaration of Independence, 1776, Constitution, 1787, and even though they promised to do it, they hadn't yet done it, 1791, a few years later, they actually added the Bill of Rights, which said, this limits government. But today, if you'll notice, our government is not limited. Our federal government, our national government, is totally unlimited. You are now the servant, they are now the master. And they have all your dough. They own everything you have. Your house, your car, your land, your property, everything except what God gave to you if you're a believer. If you're, he created you, Betzalemnu, Kedemutnu. And therefore, you have property in yourself. But you know, most people will acquiesce, and they do. They've just given in. Just say, well, you can't fight them. You can't beat them. Well, that's because you don't believe. Here's how God set it up, the bottom three. The foundation is holiness. What is God's kind of holiness? Where you don't have any. The reason he loved Abraham, Abraham was not a Jew. This was long before Judaism. Abraham was not a Jew. He was just simply a Semite from Shem. In fact, I believe Shem was Melchizedek. So he actually gave tithes to Shem, Melchizedek. I'll teach on that some other time. But the point is, whoever he was, he gave tithes to that man. And so he was, he lived 350 years after the flood, after Nimrod. He's still alive, and he met Abraham. Nimrod's already dead. Nimrod may have lived a long time, but not as long as Shem. And so Abraham is building on Mount Zion. Remember, that's where he took his boy Isaac, and he was about to sacrifice him. But God doesn't want us to sacrifice, because your sacrifice isn't perfect. Isaac's death would only have prevented Jesus from coming. Did you hear what I just said? If they had killed Isaac, there would be no Messiah. Because there would be no Isaac, there would be no Jacob. If there's no Jacob, there's no Israel. If there's no Israel, blah, 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 blah. So the point is that he couldn't kill him. And Abraham knew, if I stab this boy and kill him, I know one thing, God will have to raise him up from the dead and resurrect him. And that's why Jesus said, yeah, that man saw my day. Abraham saw my day coming. That number, I'll have to number these so you can see which one they are. This one here is number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, and number six. So this number five is powerful because Abraham was seeing Jesus' day, and they asked him and they said, well, you know, are you making yourself greater than Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. Kind of, they killed him for that. You know, he shouldn't have said that. Before Abraham was, I am. I'm older than he is. I'm older than David. I'm older than everybody. I am the root of David, not just the son of David. I am God himself. Thou makest thyself equal with God? Absolutely. Jesus is God. That's why we can worship him by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. You need not only to be born again, you also need to be filled with the Spirit and then led of the Spirit. Justified, sanctified, glorified. And then the final fruit is not only that the church is bridal, pure, but that even the government is just. It's easy to have a just government, just have a true church. You don't even need a lot. If there were just two of us, we could renew the government. Who else would like to do it? Yeah, praise God. Look at the abundance we have. We had four. No. some extras. Because I'll probably die off anyway. Now, God knows. Did you all not want me to die? I felt a few people feeling really bad about that. How many know you don't need a pastor? You don't. You don't need to have a pastor. You got Jesus. The teacher dwells within you. You don't really need a pastor. So I'm completely expendable. And I'm okay with it. I'm ready to go home anytime. Are you ready, Barbara? So Barbara and I are ready to go home anytime. Like, hey, ready to go home. So Al-Qaeda would do us a favor. Chop head off. Is that going to be clean cut or what? Could I test that blade? Yeah, it's okay. Do it fast. Just go home. So do you have fear? Are you in love with this world? Because if you have idols in your life, idolatry, or if you have immorality and fornication in your life, if you have injustice in your life, if you have anything like that, you got to get rid of it. And God is going to send you to cleanse you and clean you up. And that's why he said the Philadelphia church won't even go through the tribulation. Why? Because that church loved one another. That church, the idea of phileo, is love, and then adelphia is brother. So any church that we love the brethren, that church won't even go through, because to love another Christian, that's death right there. How many know it's not easy to love brothers and sisters? How many know it's not easy? I mean, people don't even in the church, we got sinners. How many know that? Well, God doesn't call them sinners. God calls them saints, but they still sin. Has anybody noticed that little secret? That Christians still sin. How many noticed this? Because this is a bother, a lot of people. God will use imperfect people to do perfect things. Anybody ever notice that? That is a shame. I mean, that is not right. Especially pastors and prophets and evangelists and teachers and stuff like that. They should be perfect. But I don't know if any of you have noticed, but there ain't any such thing. I mean, we'd like to have some pope or some pastor great and so on and so forth, but they don't exist. They're just human ones that are born again, and they really are by faith, but it's really by faith. It's so deep you cannot see it on the surface always. Hello? I'm just telling you what we all know and don't want to admit, that people are not perfectible. Even if they're born again, so what? You're born again, but are you filled with the Spirit all the time? Thursday? You know. Saturday morning at 2? You know. So are you always filled with the Spirit? No. So then you can't be led. You can only be led when you're filled. Because if you're full of yourself, you're going to be full of yourself. That's going to produce the gates of hell. So what God wants to do is make a promise that you could not possibly make. And you can't even figure it out. I mean, how is God going to pull this thing off? But how many know the best has been saved to the last? So it's going to be right here. This is where it's going to take place, right here, with you. Isn't that amazing? Don't you know God has a sense of humor? Don't you know God really has a sense of humor? You know, he really does. If you look at it, like the time he said, it's like putting a new patch on an old garment. That was funny. Did y'all see that? Because if you go out in the rain or you try to wash it, the new patch will shrink and pull the old garment apart. I thought that was funny. Here's another one. This one is really funny. How about swallowing a fly and then you actually swallowed a camel? I like that one. But he called it a gnat. So you swallow camels, and then you think it wasn't that bad. Yeah, but it was. You just swallowed a camel, two or three of them. So I like that. You don't see the humor of Jesus at all. But I tell you, Jesus is humorous. To pick you and me, he's humorous. He is humorous, especially the way we marry these days. I notice most women marry men. It shows how silly they are. It shows how silly they are. I don't know why they do that. I don't know why they do that. And so this newer group that's come along, they've got a better way of doing it, where women marry women. Now, that is really brilliant. That is really brilliant. How many know that that's about as stupid as the first move? You just went from the frying pan into the fire. You think women are easy to get along with? Oh, I tell you, they're vicious. They are vicious. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, it's funny. Because women don't sin, generally. But specifically they do. They don't do it generally, but specifically. And they can be catty. They can be nasty. Hello. So women deserve men. And men deserve women. Remember Adam. I mean, Adam was the first guy that noticed this. The woman you gave me. If you hadn't, it's your fault. God, I love that. I love that. That was good. The woman you gave me. Adam was sharp. That was sharp on his part. It's not my fault. It's the woman you gave me. It's the woman, the one you gave me. There. So he stuck a stick right in his eye. Now, why is God funny like that? Do you know that God doesn't care about all that? He doesn't care about 4,000 years of human history. He just writes it all off and says, all of that I've come here to change through the mercy of God. I offered it to the Jews, but they wanted to help out. So they didn't put faith with their works. They put their works as a big deal. And that's why they ended up with this. This is the sign that this was the case instead of this. Here, you may eat, meaning everything you do that's good, that's right, that's true, and that's just is done by permission of God because you were made that way. You actually have the ability, the capacity to do good, just, right, and true. However, everything, though you may do it, we end up not doing it by nature, and therefore we end up with one of these. So number three came from number two, which was a misuse then of number one, because if you knew it, you could do all these good things just freely. But you had to depend on God, because God gave this as a gift to us. This natural liberty is a good thing. It'll never go away. I don't care how much you do. This one can never completely destroy this natural. However, God can. And when he puts this all in place, he doesn't need any of that. Doesn't need any of that. So all of that above the line here, all of that will disappear. It'll be gone. Everything below the line will remain forever and ever and ever in this world and in the next. So Abraham's covenant in the Old Testament was the first time that God made all these promises. He made others before this, but he made all these promises about the one man, Jesus Christ, who would be the mediator of heaven and earth, the only one that could redeem us. Noah didn't do it, and he was a blessed man. He was a righteous man. And all the others who were righteous men before, they didn't do this, which is to point to the Messiah himself and actually be the progenitor, the one through whom he would come. And David came out of that same seed line, bloodline. And then also, Jesus is the son of David. So he's the son of Abraham, and he's the son of David. So with Abraham, he gets the religion, faith. And with David, he gets the royalty, king. So Jesus is coming back as a priest, religion, king, just like Melchizedek, exactly like Melchizedek. Melchizedek in Hebrew means a king, Melech, and Zedek is tzaddik or just. So he's a just king, so he's a priest king. So this holiness from Abraham is the foundation through the mercy that builds this house. So if you turned it on its side here and put it vertical, the foundation would be Mount Zion. And what's built on that would be our salvation through Jesus Christ. And what's built on that would be a just government. If you don't have the first, you can't get the second. If you don't have the second, you can't get the third, or 4, 5, and 6. So what God is doing is, right now, you think he's destroying the earth and so on, or letting it just go to pot. Not at all. He's actually waking up his church. He's actually waking up his people. This is the best day ever. Everyone else is giving a bad report. I can hear them everywhere. Oh, we're going to hell in a handbasket. Blah, 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 blah. I don't have that. You cannot, as a Christian, give a bad report. You always have to give a good report because of Jesus, because of the bottom line. He already made you a promise. The harvest is ripe. The laborers are few. That's a statement that kind of covers all that. And he also said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Well, pretty clear to me. So therefore, he didn't say, rejoice in the Lord always, except during the Antichrist period. Except during the 1260 days of, you know, bad news, you know, when he's purifying. You know what? Tribulation is the best thing that's ever happened. Tribulation hadn't yet come. You're experiencing small tribulations right now, but the real tribulation hadn't yet come. This is just a rehearsal. This is just the thing. But I'll tell you what's good about a tribulation. Trib is try, three. So tribulation means a pitchfork with three prongs on it that separates the wheat from the chaff. Throws it up in the air, comes down, throws it up in the air, comes down. The wind blows away all the trash, and the thing that's left is the grain, what's valuable. That's when he purifies the sons of Levi. That's when he brings forth The harlot church separates it from the true Zestos, hot church. So the lukewarm church of today will be blown away in the wind. Now, that doesn't mean it's the end of things. God is merciful. If, for example, a bad king of Israel would ever go to God, even if they did everything God said not to do, and there are real examples I could easily give, and they said, I'm the worst king that ever has been, but I admit it, I confess it, have mercy upon me. God would immediately have mercy upon him. Manasseh, 55 years, longest living king ever, the worst of the worst of the worst. Killed God's people, did everything to destroy, everything to oppose God. He was horrible. He was horrible. But you know what? God forgave him. And his son was a wonderful son. And it looked like there was going to be hope again. But it wasn't over yet. How many know it isn't over till it's over? And we're the over. We're it. How many know it's in our day when you're going to see the kingdom of God actually come? He shall come riding on the clouds at the trumpet call. Lift your voice. Why? Because he's going to build something out of Zion's. Remember Zion's hill? Salvation comes. And what is the sign of that? Would be just government. It's one of the signs, not the only. But as one of the signs, and it will be a sign. You can't say he's not going to do that. Oh, yes, he is. Because that's a gift of God. Gift of God is that I always wanted there to be natural righteousness on the earth as well as spiritual. And the spiritual is the key to the natural. You want to have just government, you have to have religion. That is the true righteousness of Jesus Christ through his blood, which is based on Mount Zion. That is the covenant that Abraham cut. Right in that place, that's called the faithful city. That's called the city of righteousness in the scripture. That is called what God said in Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. Jeremiah said that the dwelling place of justice, the dwelling place, the house of justice, the temple of justice, the third, the six, number six up here, that one has to be built upon the mountain, built upon the mountain of holiness. That mountain of holiness is Mount Zion. That's always been God's holy city. Now we're talking about natural Mount Zion. But it's actually a spiritual, because Jesus is spiritual. He came to establish spiritual things. So your faith is based on, you know, spiritual things, not on natural things, because my kingdom is not of this world. So there it is. You're not part of this world. Could I hear hallelujah? Yeah, I mean, you're not part of this world. As wicked as you may be, and some of you are doing better than others, but as wicked as you may be, and as selfish as you may be, and as scared as you may be, you may have fear when it says fear not. You may have lust when it says don't. You may have all kinds of sins. Who cares? God has made Jesus Christ so perfect in your stead that it isn't what you do or don't do. What you do doesn't get you into heaven, or it doesn't keep you out of heaven. So all the sin in the world doesn't keep you in hell. The only sin is unbelief. It's by faith in Jesus Christ, which Abraham started on Mount Zion. It used to be called Mount Moriah. It is not Mount Calvary. Mount Calvary is actually in the northern part, not the eastern part of that location. Mount Moriah is actually where the Holy of Holies was under Solomon's temple. But Jesus was actually crucified over here to the north. Let's say this is the east, this would be the north. Over here, he right here was killed on the highway, on the road, near a garden. And there's a tomb there, and there's a stone that's rolled like a wheel over the face of the tomb. So if you've any been to Jerusalem, you can go there today and see one like it, if not the very spot. But it's in the very spot, on the sides of the north. How beauteous God calls it, on the sides of the north. Anyway, I wanted to show you this. Let's read in the third chapter. It's always good to have the scripture that we were basing everything on. And it says, here we are. What verse do I want? This is all good. I like this part right here. I love this. This is good. Do you have one of these? All right, let's look at chapter 3. And let's start at verse 10. And I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Did Satan tell you that? I mean, how did you know you were naked? You have fig leaves all over you. Hast thou eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So there he, the problem with getting caught by God is it's hard to lie to him. But anyway, so he just spit it out. He blurted it out. Yeah, I ate, but it's your fault. And the Lord said unto the woman, just, you know, he took Adam at his word that he didn't do anything wrong. What is it that, and he said, what is it that you've done? And she said, Adam used that argument about God. I'm not doing that one. I think I'll blame the snake. The serpent beguiled me and I did eat. So she also confessed. How many know in the presence of the Lord, he's going to make you confess? You cannot. And he does it in such a way, it's kind of like, you know, waterboarding or whatever. He actually is going to put you through the test. There's no way you're going to get away with it. I can just tell you, he will torment you until you confess. I'm sorry, you may not like that teaching. I love this teaching. It's very good. And that's why you want to go through tribulation, because it gets rid of all your sins. So they finally confessed. That means they can be saved again. Because there's hope then for the person that is not lying upstairs, 1, 2, 3, but in 4, 5, 6, you can actually confess your sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The minute you confess to God, God, I did it. He loves it. Remember when Adam did it, he blamed the wife and God. And then when Eve did it, she blamed the snake, and the snake didn't know who to blame, and so on. So everybody was trying to get out of it. But the truth is, God never was intending to kill Abraham's children or Adam's children. He never had that in mind. Did you know that God desires not the death of any sinner? Did you know that God desires not the death of any sinner? He takes no pleasure in the death of a sinner. So if somebody sins against him, somebody offends him, he's the one offended, and he's the only one that could forgive. The one that did the sin can't say, forgive me. I mean, he can't say it unless God offers it. And so when God says to him, I will offer you, either you keep the law perfectly, and since you haven't, then you're going to die, or I could give you mercy if you believed on Jesus. Well, when that offer is made, you go, I'll take that one. I'll take that mercy one. How many have gotten into the kingdom of God by mercy instead of by works? You know, that, you know, I had no fun. I think that should get me into heaven. I mean, it was hell at times to be nice and kind to people. I suppressed my flesh all the time. I never had any fun. How many know that that will not get you into heaven? I'm serious, God. I've been miserable ever since I did that first sin. Really felt bad about it. That is so cool. That's the coolest. That is so cool. David kind of used to do that. David, I don't remember if you remember this, but when David would do something wrong and he had to go and get the stick, so he was going to get a spanking, on the way down the hall, because we always went to the bedroom, David would start negotiating with me. Dad, no need for a spanking. I'm serious. I've got it. I see it right now. You don't even need to do it. The mercy of God, you're a loving father, I know. And I want you to know, just as God has forgiven you, you can forgive. David was like a lawyer. He was so awesome. And there was no point in doing it because he promised he wouldn't do it again and so on and so forth. And that was great. But God, you see, is the one that has to initiate that and offer. And I did. I had offered to the kids that whenever you've done something wrong, if you just confess and say you're sorry and so on and so forth, you might not get a spanking. You might. It depends on Dad's attitude at the moment or something, what he's eating or how he's feeling. No, I honored it. I honored it. And so you could then see that the law was given not so you do it, but so that you would confess afterward, I didn't. And then you could say, but show me mercy, God, because I know you didn't bring me into this world to hurt me and harm me and injure me and violate me. like the bad guys do. You brought me into this world to bless me incredibly because you love the people you created, all of them, even the ones that have sinned against you, rebelled against you, done everything against you. God has nothing against them because of the blood of Jesus, which covers everybody's sin. Right there, everybody not only has the original image and likeness, but they also have now to be restored to that image and likeness through the blood of the Lamb, which covers all your sin, and then gives you the Holy Spirit. As soon as your sins are forgiven, the proof of it, ask for the Holy Spirit, He'll give it to you. That's the sign that God gave you the Holy Spirit because you're holy by faith. It's been imputed to you as righteous because you confessed your sin. So by saying, I confess my sin, God said that, I'm pleased with that. That's what I'm looking for. I love it when sinners repent like King David. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done that which is evil in thy sight. Blah, 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 blah. And David did that and God counted that. He was a man after my own heart. Boy, there's a man that knows that he's not good, but that I am a good father in heaven. And David isn't over yet. David may yet be in the picture. But anyway, Jesus Christ, who is the son of David, is the Lord of David. And so who knows how he's going to work it out. But I tell you this, God isn't done yet. He wants to have a bride without spot, without wrinkle or any such thing. And some of you are wrinkling us up and spotting us. And you gotta repent. Please get beyond where I am at least. No, all you have to do is say, God, thank you. That's all you have to say. That is the sacrifice, the one sacrifice he wants. Thank you for doing everything. Thank you that there's nothing left for me to do. Thank you that my death and my blood or my sacrifices mean nothing to you. In fact, you hate them. You hate them. He says, I take no pleasure in your bulls and your sacrifices. The only thing I want from you is thanksgiving that I have done something in Jesus Christ before he came and now after he has come, is to say, God, we have a God that's so unbelievable. Like, nobody can believe this religion. It's too crazy, but it's too wonderful because it fits real people in real life. Amen. All children that we bring into the world are going to sin. They're going to sin sooner or later. And that is a wonderful thing because it shows their person independent of God. They don't care that the parent is their parent. No! They'll say that. I love that when little kids do that. And I love it, I've told you. I love it when they put their hands on their hips, even. No. They're not sure that you're going to spank them or not. You go to bed right now. No. I love that. Don't you love that? You wicked little child. You know, but you don't say that. You just hug them and say, I know, but I'm going to spank you if you don't go to bed now. And fortunately, that love did it, not the spanking. The love did it. God never forces what's good. He never forces what's right. He never forces what's true. He never forces what's just. Never. The government does all the time. That's why it's a tyranny. Did you know that the American government set up never to make a law that made you do something good, but left you self-governing under God and nature's God? You were under nature, the natural law, the natural liberty, number one up there, and you were also under nature's God, meaning the bottom line there. That's the God, not just of nature, the God who made nature in the first place, but that is the God that actually here, this God that gave you this natural liberty and gave you this law to convict you so that you would realize what you did was wrong, so that you could confess here, as he pointed out to Abraham through faith, that promise, so that this could then be the result which would completely then restrain and prohibit this from conquering everything. So that when Jesus comes back, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We serve an awesome God. God is so awesome. O habitation of justice, which is built upon, tabernacled upon, housed upon, the foundation of the rock of salvation, of holiness. Now, that rock of Abraham, that solid ground, which is God, my faith in God, not me. God promised to do everything. I'm holding him to that. That faith is an unshakable, indestructible, indefeasible rock, which can never be moved, because God, the maker of heaven and earth, gave us that. And therefore, he restores to me through number five, he restores to me the joy of my salvation, which then produces all the just government. So, will Texas survive? Yes. Why? Because it was dedicated in the beginning by those men that fought at the Alamo and so on and so forth, who gave their lives for just government. And they started out with these words, Almighty God. Those were the verse words. And if you read it, the 12th paragraph in their Declaration of Independence in 1836, the first thing they said was, and the subject is the Mexican government. And they denied to us the freedom to worship God, the true and living God. Taken right out of the Bible. So they weren't just talking about the universe or something like that. They were talking about Jesus Christ. They were saying, we don't want to have the Catholic religion thrust on us and made to do it. If we want to do it voluntarily, fine. But we don't want it forced upon us, compelled upon us. We want to have religious liberty, or you will not have any justice whatsoever. That's why we're against Santa Anna. The only reason. We're not against him economically, politically, or socially. We don't care about all of that. As long as we can make a living down here and so on and so forth. But he wants to force upon us, you know, we don't care about taxes. We don't care about all that. What we care about is religion is our property by God, because we were created in the image and likeness of God. We want to worship God. And number six in the Bill of Rights, which they put at the head of their Constitution, they put it inside as the very first, anything first is greater. Everything after that has to be subordinate to and governed by what's ever in the first part. So the whole Bill of Rights is there, but the first part of it is Article 1, 6. Every man has a natural and indefeasible right, you can't destroy it, to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. So there you have it. So man is belonging to God. He doesn't belong to the state, doesn't belong to any inferior authority or power on earth, any man, any association of men, any government of men does not belong to them. They cannot command him against God. Once they owe their worship to God, they don't give it to anyone else. They will never render unto Caesar something that belongs only to God. And they wrote that down. They put that down. Why did they do that? Because they wanted to make sure that no one in Texas would ever be punished for his faith. Today it's happening right here in Fort Worth, down in Houston. All the major cities have already passed legislation that makes you a hater. You are a bigot and a hater because you believe homosexuality is not permissible, is not a good thing. Do you understand? If you do anything, you are a hater of humanity. Now, they want to force what's good. Do you see what I just said? If you force what's good, now you've gone against God. You can't defend against it. Try as you may, the courts will never listen to you. You are already, they wrote those laws deliberately to destroy everybody in America. It's completely anti-Christian as possible it could be. Deliberate. But you can't beat them. So, I'll tell you what I would do if I were you. I would get right with God. I'd make sure I worship him with all my heart and soul and strength and my neighbor as myself. Because that's the only way you're going to get just government again. You're not going to get it with guns. You're not going to get it with legislation. You're not going to get it even if you all mob together. They just shoot you all down. They don't care. Today we're in lawlessness. The nation is that way. The states are all that way. It's taken over 100 years to get that way. All during the 20th century. Nope, started back by the Civil War. Nope, even before the Civil War. And let's say about 1840, somewhere in there, 1844. God is calling us to wake up and realize it's not over. There's no problem. The harvest is still ripe. It's just the laborers that are few. God doesn't need a lot. He doesn't need all of Texas to do it. It doesn't have to be majority vote. It's just if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord, I love you, Lord, and if they will turn from their wicked ways. What does he call wicked? Well, it's not what you do. Because remember, you don't eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil because you don't know what good is and what evil is. So for him, good is believing and evil is not. Kind of simple. So God just wants you to be a believer in Jesus Christ, but not a dead faith, but a living faith that would actually produce. And you'll know when you see just government restored again. Can the Hindus do it? No. Can the Muslims do it? No. Can the lukewarm church do it? No. Can the Catholics do it? No. Who's going to do it? The Jews? They can do it. Nobody can do it. Nothing is made perfect under a law. We're the only ones that live by faith, like Abraham, number 4, and then 5, and then 6. So that mountain of holiness, Mount Zion, but the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, through that mercy, that chesed, that loving kindness, will produce just government. All we have to do is return and do what God said. Love the Lord God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Boom, over. It's all God's ever wanted. Now, can you make that happen? No. You can't make it happen. No work of yours can make that happen. God, I just want that to be. that won't help. You could say that all day long. God, I'm really sincere now. It doesn't matter anything. You're still building on sand. You don't have a rock under you. When it's God's promise that you believe, you don't have to do a thing. He made the promise. Let him do it. How many know the woman that God gave, Eve, was a blessing? Did you know that? Adam was wrong. The woman thou gavest to me, she was hard. She was too much. Oh, God, I tried to rule her, but she's just so stubborn. How many know that that's a normal wife? That's just your regular wife. who could be more against you than your own wife? I mean, that's wonderful. They just can cut you down and control you and dominate you easily. You know, come on. What are you worried about? You know, get back in the kitchen, let her throw a spatula at you or something. You know, don't worry about it. Just go there and say, I love you, you sweetheart. You're such a gift of God. I tell you, that calms Peggy down right away after the spatula. You know, she's okay after that. She just wanted to get something off of her, you know, so just attack away and so on and so forth. And she hates it when I'm smiling. And she does not like that. When I'm mad at you, I want you to notice it. And I want you to be praying for me and, you know, thinking of scriptures. And she doesn't like that part. You know what I hate about you is you're always happy. So I tell you, there's no way to please Peggy. There's no way. So now most men would just run away. I don't. I stay there and take it. I love it. And she'll bite me and just do all kinds of things. I love it. It's exciting. You've never done that, have you? No, not yet. But you've thought about it. Yeah. So God doesn't care about all that. What he cares about is believe. Look, you're not perfect and you're not going to get perfect. Don't worry about perfect. Just Jesus, who's your perfect life. He's your righteousness. He's your joy. He's your peace. He's your holiness. He's your goodness. He's your kindness. He's everything. That's already been given. God has already done his act. It's over. It's over. All he wants to do is see who believes on that, and then you'll see just government restored just because we turn to God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'll give you everything else. Do y'all believe that? Do y'all believe that God actually can keep his promise? Because that's what you're believing in, not just that Jesus died on the cross for you. You're actually believing that the Holy Ghost, who's inside of you, wants to remove all your sins so that you have nothing but worship. And there's nothing but faith. The real faith that produces all kinds of love and works and kindness and joy, even for your enemies, even for people that hate you. So don't worry about it. Don't fix up the government or fix up Al-Qaeda or fix up the homosexual community, whatever. They're right here. They're right across the street. It's wonderful. But bless them. God bless them. You know, they're under a curse, but I didn't put it on them. And they don't want it, I'm sure. But we haven't been much of a light and salt. Because we're the only salt on the earth. They don't have hope. Stop criticizing them and hating them and being afraid of them and whatever. You don't have to hug them, but, you know, you have to love them. You have to love them. Why? Because they're people that God put his image and likeness on. And they have the potential, 4, 5, and 6. But they're not going to get there unless you're producing fruit that they can see and experience. Amen? So, but you can't fake this by trying to produce legalistic fruit on the outside. You make the tree good and the fruit will be good. Make sure the tree's okay. Make sure the roots are well manured. Some of you have a lot of that, manure. And put that on that tree. That'll be good. Let it rot and so on and so forth. That was what makes it, and you can dig down and get a lot of air in there and stuff like that. That's how you make the tree good. And who is the tree? Jesus, the tree of life. Talking about Jesus, the tree of life. Make the tree good. He is good. He's the only one that's good. But he's not good in himself as Son of Man, but as Son of God. He is God to be worshipped and obeyed and served and loved. Let him do it. Let him do all the work. Let God do the atoning. Let God do the reconciling. God was in Christ reconciling the world. The world. Which world? The sinful world. The rebellious world. The world up on top. That world. That never just did what they did. When they think of liberty, they think of license. Let them think whatever they want. It's us who have to prove as God's church on earth, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail. I hope you're blessed today. God is good. He's not done yet. This is his work. It's not your work. You should be happy all the time. You should leave this church today like calves, you know, little, you know, newborn calves are just 1 year old, running out of the stall and kicking and just running through the field. They don't know, you know, anything. They're just so happy and so excited. If you've ever lived around calves leaping from stalls, they do it. And that's the way Christians should look, like that. Free, totally excited and happy as you wake up every day like little kids. Except you become as a little child, you'll not enter the kingdom of God. So how many are resolved today that you'll be happy from now on? Okay, it's not going to work. I just thought I'd tell you that. I just thought I'd tell you that because you can't pull that off. But if you're resolved today to believe that Jesus could work that in you because he loves you and he loves everybody. He's always wanted nobody to die and nobody to perish. But he told you a whole bunch will. But a remnant will not. He's already told you. So you get to decide. You want to be part of that remnant or you want to be part of the broad way that doesn't lead to anything but destruction. I want to go the narrow way, the way through Jesus. That's the narrow way from Abraham through Jesus to now a just government. That will be one of the signs. And I tell you, it can't happen in Cuba. It can't happen someplace else. It's got to happen here. We're the only ones left. There's no other state that it can happen in even. I mean, it could. It's potential. But, you know, this is the state that it could happen in, one state under God. Why don't we, you know, use those words as reality? Well, it's not the government. It's us. It's the church. The church needs to be like that. Happy. Let marriages here be solid and strong. Someone wrote me yesterday from another country. And, you know, they were miserable and so on and so forth because it was hard. And so I just wrote back and said, no, just the opposite. Just the opposite. I'm going to tell you what it really is. Everything is fine. Your marriage is perfect. Everything's going your way. You just need to take the chains off of everybody you're chained to and just go to, you know, praise God, worship God, love your neighbor as yourself, and have a good time. She wrote back, I don't know, 10 minutes later, Peggy can tell you how quickly, perfect, I got it, hallelujah. You know, I mean, it set her free. She'd been miserable for months and months and months. Now all of a sudden she's free. Wow. God is so good. This truth still works. It sets people free. You don't have to be special. You don't have to be anything ordinary. You don't have to be anything. You are already made in the image and likeness of God, which he has now restored through Jesus Christ and his blood, forgiving you all your sins, all 1, 2, 3. And now there's nothing to do but thank God, praise God, and be happy all the time. How else could it be? Who has a testimony? Okay, who's next? All right, who would like to be third?